This weekend, many of you will gather in a place of worship for the first time since the church shooting in South Texas. Last Sunday, a shooter killed 26 people inside First Baptist Church near San Antonio. And in the studio with me right now are three people who will be talking about that shooting at prayer services this weekend. Pastor Priscilla Paris Austin of Emmanuel Lutheran Church, welcome.
Thank you.
Rabbi Daniel Wiener of Temple Dehersh Sinai, nice to see you again. Welcome.
Thank you.
Imam Adam Jamal is with the Muslim Association of Puget Sound. Welcome to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for coming. I'll start with you, Priscilla. What will you tell your Christian congregation on Sunday about this?
So for our people, the thing that I am wrestling with and that I'm the text that I'm residing in has me prepared to talk about toxic masculinity, to talk about the ways in which we need to listen to the warning signs and pay attention to them, the ways that we as a people need to be more faithful to what it means to be a community and to hold each other accountable and to care for each other.
What do you say to your congregation from a religious point of view about toxic masculinity?
That for too long, the patriarchy has lied to us about what manhood means. What it means to be strong is different for people of faith than what the world wants to purport.
What do you mean by that?
In the world, strength is violence. It is power. It is money. It is a man is considered someone who can hold back his emotions and not express them. And this is not who we are called to be. This is not what, it's not what Scripture actually reveals to us about the most beautiful and powerful role models that we are given. Jesus wept. Jesus was a servant, and that's where his power came from. When we talk about the ancestors of the faith and we talk about David as a lover for God's heart and the way that he openly wept for the loss of his child, these are not weak things.
Adam, Sunday's shooting was at a Christian church. Obviously, we're talking about bigger issues here than one incident. Why will you be addressing this at your mosque tomorrow?
So, first of all, my prayers, my thoughts go out to the community over there near San Antonio, Texas. I was born in Houston, and I actually just moved over here from Dallas. So I am from there. and so that definitely hits close to home. I have a lot of friends. There's an imam, a friend of mine, actually in San Antonio as well. And so it really hit close to home. And so definitely my prayers and my thoughts go out to those people, the victims, their families, and to the Christian community as a whole. I'm sure, you know, after what happened 2 years ago, as well as this shooting, I'm sure you guys are reeling from it. And
2 years ago, meaning the Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston.
In Charleston, yes. And, you know, it hurts, and it's horrific, and it's terrifying. And our hearts are with you guys, and our prayers are with you guys. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he gave an example of the human body. And he said that if one part of the body hurts, then the entire body hurts. You know, if you have a headache, then you can't do anything else. If you have a toothache, you can't do anything else, you know. So we're hurting along with you guys, and you know, we're here for you, and we're here to support you.
Is there anything you want to say to your congregation?
And that's what my message is to my congregation, that we have to support our brothers and sisters in humanity, and we can't let people who wish to divide us. And we have to actually use this as a reason to unite and to come closer together. I used to work as an imam at a different mosque before, and actually while I was there, there was graffiti done there, and the mosque was vandalized. And actually, the artist, he actually drew Stars of David all over the mosque. And, you know, I could have said, well, oh, you know, this is the Jewish community. I could have said that. But instead, I actually called up the rabbi and I said, you know what? I've only been an imam here for a few months and I've never reached out to you. And I'm embarrassed that it took this kind of thing for us to reach out and to get together. But I'm happy that, you know, I'm happy to say that I'm willing to use this negative energy and change it into something positive.
Hmm. What a gift from that artist, as you called them. Rabbi Daniel Wiener, you're nodding as you're listening to that. Well, how will you address this? Are you addressing this particular mass shooting this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I've addressed it to my congregation and more broadly through video, through a video kind of messaging. But also two things. One, of course, a sense of thoughts and prayers for the people who have suffered and just the whole family that was taken out for some reason. This really resonated with a lot of my folks and with me. I find myself really struggling with the reality of walking into a crowded church and doing what this sick individual did. But from a Jewish perspective and also from a perspective of my congregation's history of activism, you know, as it's been said, and I really resonate with this, thoughts and prayers are not enough. Thoughts and prayers are a good beginning,
yes.
But we need change and we need impact upon policy. And certainly in Washington State, my congregation and many others have been involved with universal background checks and extreme risk protection orders, but we need to take this national and we need to exact a cost from those members of Congress who put the profits of the gun industry and the lobbying power of the NRA higher on their priority than the blood of children being spilled in the streets and the churches and synagogues and mosques of our country.
Washington State is an open carry state. Are there guns allowed in your places of worship, any of you?
No.
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 Was that ever a matter of discussion?
No.
It's been understood since I've been there.
Hmm. You mentioned thoughts and prayers, which is when there's a shooting or a terrible event, that politicians, Facebook posters will say that they send their thoughts and prayers, and you are all nodding at the idea that that's not enough. Well, how do you react to that when you hear that as a clergy member yourself, Priscilla?
So prayer is necessary. It is a key element of my faith. But we pray as people in order to hear a response that drives us to action. And so to stop at thoughts and prayers is theological abuse. It is misuse of scripture, of faith. It is completely unacceptable to me.
Maybe when you post that, you should say what specific prayer it is that you're offering. I rarely hear that. I want to know, what's the prayer? Are there any suggestions?
Well, I mentioned thoughts and prayers, so but for me, I work with young people and you're right, thoughts and prayers are not enough. And that is why we should reach out to each other and we should extend more than just words, of course, and we should extend action. And when I talk to young people, when they're afraid, you know, when just through talking to them, they're afraid, they're getting bullied, they're getting teased. They don't have that confidence to react to these kinds of events. And
they're being bullied as Muslims?
As Muslims, as non-Muslims. We were just talking about this, as people that are not Muslims.
Yeah.
Everyone is getting bullied.
Yeah, right.
Right? And so to them, I say, let's take the example of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He was persecuted. His followers were persecuted. And he didn't let that get him to give up. He kept going. He kept doing the good work. And he used that to, you know, I don't look it, but I actually did judo for a little while, two classes. But when you look at me, you probably think, oh, he's never done anything in his life. But you know, one of the things I took away from there was that when someone uses their force against you, you have to take it and reverse it against them, you know? And so that negative energy, you have to take that and reverse that. And let's use these events to kind of jumpstart our relationships, but let's not wait till the next casualty. Let's not wait till the next event occurs, the negative event, for us to get together. This weekend, MAPS, my organization, is actually organizing a Day of Dignity. So we're actually going to be helping the homeless. We're going to be providing them supplies and services so they can live in a dignified manner. And for future events, I'd love to reach out to the different communities and get together and see what positive impacts we can make here.
May I ask Rabbi Daniel Wiener, you can all weigh in if you like, how do you have faith that a God is watching over you when seemingly innocent people are killed, especially worshipers, but anyone? How do you grapple with that with your congregation?
That's one of the great theological questions, and philosophers, a whole biblical book of Job was written to confront that notion of theodicy. Why do bad things happen to good people? It's very complicated. The short answer is that one of the greatest gifts that God gives us is free will, and that free will can be either embraced to do good or can be abused to do terrible things. And from our perspective, it's not that God allows these things to happen. God mourns with us when these things happen. Yeah. God also gives us faith, and from a Jewish perspective, gave us the Torah to do the right thing. God doesn't stand neutrally and hope that we figure it out. God gives us hints and guidance and support and inspiration. But at its core, if we are to be fully realized human beings and to grow into fully realized human beings, God, like a good parent with a child, needs to at a certain point pull back, allow us to act and grow and live as we do. And hopefully the preponderance of our decisions as individuals and as a human and as civilization will be positive and not negative.
So God doesn't allow this to happen, but Pastor Priscilla, do you ever see anything in the world and think, oh, God has allowed that or guided that, or, oh, that's God's will? Or do you draw no conclusions about that from anything that happens in the world?
So it is, I think that the thing about this particular event is that there are folks out there right now who I need to very strongly and firmly rebuke, because they are saying that in some way, shape, or form, that this was God's will, that somehow God intended this, and that it was actually God's answer to prayer. That is not how God works. We serve a loving God who created us and made us and charged us with the care of each other and creation. How we choose to do that, because we have free choice, we have free will, is what manifests on a day-to-day basis. I choose, instead of trying to figure out God's will about catastrophic events, I choose to sort of follow the model of Fred Rogers.
Right? Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers, who was a Presbyterian minister, who said, in these tragic moments, look for the helpers. And we look for where love resides and where love is revealed. And that is where I will say that is God's will. That is God's manifestation. That is God being revealed and coming to life in the world. The rest of it, that's humanity struggling and figuring it out.
That's Pastor Priscilla Paris Austin of Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Imam Adam Jamal, you have said that God doesn't give you anything that you can't handle. And sometimes people don't handle disaster well. They suffer trauma. They turn to addiction. They commit suicide. Doesn't God give us things we can't handle?
So, I mean, in this situation, I think the main thing that we need to remember is that God is there and he does love us, and we have to reach out to him and we have to get strength from him, and we have to pray to him. Not only that, but our religion, Islam, it teaches us to lean on each other as well. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was not by himself. He had others around him. And for us to think that we can take on any challenge on our own is completely wrong, is completely incorrect. Instead, if we lean on each other, we get support from each other. Then that's how we're going to be able to, you know, to move on from this and to heal from this. And like Pastor Priscilla said, love, right? Love is the main thing here. Love from all sides. Love for these victims, for their families. Love for everyone. You know, and I would say that if we, moving forward, if we cannot give enough love, then that's our biggest loss, you know? We have to reach out to each other. We have to talk to each other. We have to seek that support, and we have to give it as well. And we can't just give it with thoughts and prayers, but we have to act as well. And so I hope and I pray that we're able to act together, and we're able to put things together for all of humanity.
Pastor Priscilla, would you tell the story of how you dealt with the shooting at the Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston that we mentioned?
Sure. That was the first Sunday that I was serving at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. I had been called from Phoenix, and I had very much intended and planned to preach a lovely sermon about us as whiny children due to the text was being Lamentations. And I can very clearly remember that sermon that I did not get to preach. But when the news hit and things were revealed and we began to realize the truth of what had happened, that Dylan Roof was raised in an ELCA congregation like ours.
What is ELCA?
The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. I could not speak about it. And so I did. I named our sin of racism, that we as a church were complicit in the murder that happened, in whatever it was that we did to not see the toxic masculinity that was growing in Dylan Roof, that somehow we overlooked the warning signs that he gave us, that somehow we allowed him to believe in any way, shape, or form that he was somehow better than any of his other siblings in humanity, that he would be willing to go in and kill the friend of a colleague of mine who had gone to seminary with him, Reverend Pinckney. This was deeply personal. And we had to speak about it. And we had to confess and repent, because until we confess and repent, there cannot be reconciliation. We cannot have reconciliation without contrition and repentance first. And that's what I spoke on that Sunday.
Rabbi, have you had current events turn into a very personal sermon, if that's the word?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I was in a congregation years ago in Pennsylvania where in between, on the night of the holiest day in the Jewish calendar, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, after our evening service, but before the morning service, the synagogue was the victim of arson, and literally had to rescue the Torah scrolls from a burning building with the fire department. But the wonderful upside of a very devastating kind of event was that a colleague of mine in a Lutheran church opened up his church for us to have services there that day. I mean, that's not really a current event, but it's more kind of a crucial issue having to do with issues in society. When you were speaking about having to change your sermon, the sermon that we all had to change, I'm sure, was after 9/11. Literally, Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, one of the most important Jewish holidays, where everyone comes to church, to the synagogue to hear the sermon. 9/11 happened 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, and so every rabbi in the country had to throw out hers or his sermon and speak about the most devastating attack on American soil.
Let's end on your messages of hope, because all of you told us in some way before we came on the radio that you want your message this weekend, and I suppose in general, to be messages of hope. So, and you told us a bit about that, Adam. You talked about reversing a negative energy. Rabbi Wiener, what is the hope that you want to give us right now?
You know, I think there are two levels of hope. One hope is the kind of theological hope and faith in a better world, a better future, a better humanity. And we, as people of faith, and particularly as Jews, we constantly connect with that and invest ourselves in that. But hope also comes from a sense of agency. And I think there's hope in that all of us taking concrete actions legislatively, in terms of advocacy, in terms of who we support financially, to ensure that we have common sense gun legislation promoting gun responsibility and gun safety in this country. These things are going to happen. They are inevitable, and they're going to get worse and worse until we actually do something about exacting a cost from those politicians who insist on ignoring this suffering, ignoring the blood literally running in the streets of our country, in support of the NRA and gun manufacturers. And hope to me, and from a Jewish perspective, comes from agency and action, and that's the message I'm going to continue to impart to my congregation.
Imam Adam, what is hope to you this weekend?
Such a big word, or a short word. It's four letters, but it's such a big word, hope. And it's easy to lose hope. But I think if we realize that we're all in this together, that we can have hope. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. The Quran says, very interestingly, very rarely does the Quran repeat the same words within the same verse. And so within just two verses, it repeats the same phrase twice. In the Quran, God says, with difficulty comes ease. With difficulty comes ease. And it repeats it twice. Because it's not enough to just say it once, right? Because when we're in it, we're just feeling like, man, how am I going to get out of this? But that's why it needs to be repeated, that there is going to be light at the end of this tunnel. But that's not going to come without action. It's not going to come with just words. And so I just want to remind everyone that we're all in this together, and let's act together.
With difficulty comes ease.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Pastor Priscilla, what is hope for us this weekend?
The hope for us begins in the fact that we are beloved, that we are, each and every one of us, created and loved and honored and cherished by God. And that in the midst of things like this, that we can lean upon one another, that we can be a source of strength to each other and a place of encouragement for one another. The text that I'm shifting to this Sunday comes from Joshua. As for me and mine, I choose to follow the Lord. And that is our hope, that we can choose to be a different way, that we can choose to live a different way, that we can choose, despite all the anger and the frustration and the noise of the world, we can choose to love and be a people of the light.
Pastor Priscilla Paris Austin of Emmanuel Lutheran Church, Imam Adam Jamal with the Muslim Association of Puget Sound, Rabbi Daniel Wiener of Temple Dehersh Sinai. We keep promising one another we're going to talk in happy times too.
God willing.
But always hopeful, right?
Yeah, always.
Okay.
Always.
Thanks to all of you. Much appreciated.